Our reading this morning from Rays of the One Light is one of my favorites. Of all the stories in the Bible, I think there is none as hopeful or as encouraging to us as that of the prodigal son. Here was a fellow who was just about as wayward as a person could be. And on his return to his family, penniless but sincerely repentant, he was greeted by his father, who took him in again with great joy and celebration. And what we have here, not merely as a parable, but as a promise, is precisely what awaits us with our Father in heaven when, after many incarnations of misguided ambitions, egoic desires, disappointments, suffering, and remorse, we finally make our way back home to our soul's reunion with God, that joyous reunion. But for us, there's still some distance to travel, isn't there? And the pull of the ego onto side roads and into all kinds of misadventures is incredibly seductive. And what makes these detours so remarkable is that virtually every one of them seems like a good idea at the time. We think, or at least we hope, that our choices are going to favor us with a positive result. The possibility of arriving at a happy income is the one motivation that underscores each and every decision we make, no matter how insignificant it may be. Strangely enough, even criminals, people like Al Capone, are convinced that they are on the right track to the happily ever after that they are seeking. To their way of thinking, stealing from others, hurting them, perhaps even taking their lives, seems like a good idea at the time. And when it doesn't work out as expected, the tendency, of course, is to ramp up the effort. A lot of what we do for self-satisfaction, in pursuit of self-satisfaction, is just extremely exhausting. The society we live in exerts a tremendous influence on our sense of reason, and it is very effective in massaging and manipulating our desires. It tells us what to read, what to watch, what to buy, what to obey, and what to believe in order to have what we want. And we tend to say, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I think I'll give it a try. And you know the usual outcome as well as I. It is generally a brief moment of yippee, this is the life, followed by, I guess it wasn't. But that doesn't seem to keep us from coming back for more of the same, does it? Americans in particular are inclined to look for the quick fix when pleasure takes a downward turn into disappointment. Immediate gratification is a kind of national motto, and for many, it's a personal mantra. You see it, for example, in the short-term thinking that drives large public companies to focus more on their quarterly profits than on long-term research and development. And you see it also, for example, in the massive credit card debt that so many people incur for the sake of a lifestyle that they would not be able to afford if they had to pay as they go. But sooner or later, the prodigal son, whether it's a person or a corporation, winds up with a begging bowl instead of the riches that he or they were seeking. It's a simple matter of physics, and of course also of karma, that you cannot reap more than you sow. And still, the relentless ego continues to plead its case. Don't pay any attention to all that karma stuff. If you listen to me and do what I say, you can beat the system. And sometimes when the prize is something that we really, really want, we still take the bait, don't we? As James Berry once remarked, life is a long lesson in humility. The word prodigal means wasteful or recklessly self-indulgent. And as we find in the news every day, it defines a lot of behavior we see around the world and maybe even next door. As a result, there are many, including Ananda's founder, Swami Kriyananda, who strongly believe that we are heading toward an even more serious global collapse than that of the Great Depression. The dominoes in Europe are beginning to fall, or seemingly so. And in this era of interdependent economies, the picture that is emerging is rather bleak. A few of us at Ananda are currently teaching a 6-week class that Swami Kriyananda developed to help us become successful and happy no matter what transpires in the outside world. It's called AKASH, A-K-A-S-H, which is an acronym for Ancient Keys for Achieving Success and Happiness. It's also a reference to the Akashic Records, if you're familiar with those, which are described as a compendium of mystical knowledge, including the knowledge of all human experience. This class is a series that will not only repeat in January, but one that we are encouraging everyone to study, to practice, and perhaps even to think about teaching, not just within the scope of Ananda, but out in the greater community of your family, your friends, coworkers, and your neighbors. AKASH is essentially a manual for living, but there's nothing dry or prosaic about it. We present it in a dynamic discussion format that invites your participation around a series of topics that relate primarily to the principles and practices of right action, integrity, fearlessness, magnetism, and much more. And I mention this because the focus of this class deals directly with highly effective ways to replace our prodigal tendencies with ones that bring long-lasting fulfillment, inner strength, and joy. It's a step-by-step process, a simple one that builds on our natural qualities, creating a momentum that reinforces itself by virtue of the happiness and success that it attracts. What we want to do, of course, is to rehabilitate that prodigal son who still resides to some degree in each of us. Swamiji counsels to practice before you have to. If you need a starting point, make it easy. Today, for example, commit yourself to being kind to everyone. Be the first to smile, even to people that you don't know as you pass them on the street. You'll be amazed whether or not they smile back, just how good it feels to take that initiative. You might then move on to giving up a little of what you don't really need, not for the sake of austerity, but out of seeking the experience of greater freedom and joy. For this is what comes of giving to others what they may need or appreciate more than you. You'll notice, too, how this reduces your stress, your anxieties, your fears, as little by little you lose your attachment to the non-essentials that we sometimes dwell on and maybe even obsess over. These are just a couple of the ways that we can accelerate the process of our return to the Father, Mother, God, who awaits us with open arms, with unconditional love, and with a feast of greater abundance than we can even imagine. The next few years are likely to be unlike any that we have known. America and the world would seem to be in a roller coaster car that has already reached the top of the ride and seems to be speeding down at a very steep track, with people inside no longer shouting in response to the thrill of it, but somewhat out of fear. What is to come of all this? Will society offer a way to turn the tide? If history is any gauge, it is far more likely, as George Bernard Shaw once pointed out, that what we learn from history is that we do not learn from history. Yet, we can make a huge difference in our welfare and in the welfare of others if indeed this apparently gathering storm continues to gather. That's because with a bit of study and practice, we can have in our possession those ancient keys for achieving success and happiness beyond any previous measure. I urge you to be a part of that next series of Akash classes, if you can be. They will probably take place right here after Sunday service, beginning in January. God bless you all.